a true stress release. I'd become a millionaire, wouldn't I? Well, I do know. The only problem is the stress release I know and relief I know is something that's fought by the enemy. So he confuses the issue and he makes things difficult to understand. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen? And he wants us, instead of relying on the Word of God so that we live a stress-free life, he wants us to concentrate on our difficulties and our problems. Amen? Now, after you've lived with somebody for 50 years like I have, well, it's actually longer than that because I stayed a whole summer. We got married in my mother-in-law's home. I didn't live with Leah. No, that would have been bad news. Amen, because nobody in the house would let me. And so we didn't live together, but we lived in the same house together. And so 51 years, and I know that sometimes things can be stressful. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen? But there's true stress relief in the Word of God, and it's found in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come in to His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. That's one of the best verses anti-abortion in the Word of God. What does it say? It is He who made us. Now, Stephen thinks he's pretty macho, and he's made another baby. I hate to tell you, Stephen, you haven't made another baby. You had some fun, yes, and another baby's coming, I understand. But God made that baby, amen? 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 How many know what I'm talking about? Amen? I used to tell my kids that all the time. I made you, and they never contradicted me. They should have known this verse and said, no, you didn't. God made me. But you see, I liked it. I made you. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out anytime I want. But God made us, and we are His. That's why abortion is wrong. Every baby conceived does not belong to the one that conceived and the one in whom the baby is conceived. It belongs to God.
Amen.
It's His.
Amen.
His precious treatment. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. That won't cost you anything extra. His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. Amen?
Amen?
His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. And then we'll jump into the New Testament. To Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren. I love this verse because this is the recipe for a stress-free life. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, help me. Whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on about these things. My mother said that to me one day, and I said, well, then I'm not going to have anything to think about. She didn't like that. I thought it was rather comical, but she didn't think it was funny. But that's what I'm to think about. Because all of my stress, every single bit of it, comes from right here. Comes from how I think and how I perceive things are happening around about me. Jim Davis said this, vegetables are a must on a diet. How many understand that? Right? So I suggest carrot cake, zucchini bread, and pumpkin pie.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
There's a carrot cake downstairs. Grab it, Caroline, quick, before it disappears. Amen. A gentleman called Butterball's Thanksgiving Turkey Talk Line one day to tell the operator that he had cut his turkey in half with a chainsaw and wanted to know if the oil from the chain on the saw would adversely affect the turkey. That's true. A man in Jacksonville, Florida, calls his son way over in San Diego, the opposite end of the United States of America, the day before Thanksgiving, and says this. You've heard this before, but it's worth repeating. I hate to ruin your day, son, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. Pop, what are you talking about? The son said very loudly into the phone. We can't stand the sight of each other any longer, the father yelled back. We're sick of each other, and I'm sick of talking about this. So you call your sister in Denver, and you tell her we're getting a divorce. It's all over. Frantically, the son calls his sister, who explodes over the phone and says, like heck, they're getting a divorce. She shouts, I'll take care of this. She calls Jacksonville immediately and says very, very loudly into the phone piece, you're not getting a divorce. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do anything. Do you hear me? Hangs up. The old man hangs the phone up, turns to his wife and says, okay, both children are coming for Thanksgiving and they're paying their own way. With all my heart, I believe that we, of all people on earth, United States of America, are the most blessed by God. Amen. There's reasons for that. Do you know, historically, geographically, anthropologically, any way you want to call it, we are the only nation on planet Earth founded on the principles of the Word of God. Where'd my Bible go? It's right there. Let me go get it. Founded on the principles of the Word of God. We're the only one. I sat on a plane leaving San Jose, Costa Rica, headed to Miami, and sat beside me was the cardinal, a cardinal from Costa Rica of the Roman Catholic Church. And of course, you know, I'm a loud mouth and I like to talk, so I just couldn't sit there and not say anything. You got to say something, right, Jose?
Yes, sir.
So we started talking, and the conversation went around to our respective nations, and I said, isn't it curious to you that the Roman Catholic Church led the colonization of half of the Western Hemisphere? Half of it, of the Western Hemisphere. The Anglican Church in Canada, but that's Roman Catholicism with a priest getting married. That's the only difference. And all of Latin America, you were instrumental in the colonization, and they are some of the poorest nations on earth. The only nation founded by evangelical Protestants is the United States of America, and we are number one in the world. Does it seem curious to you? He said, you know, it is. I said, I can't believe you, the Roman Catholic Church, did not inspire corruption, right? And yet corruption is the way of life in Latin America. Well, it is here too, but we've just hit it a lot better. It's coming to light now. We taught everybody else how to do it. But I said, it's interesting. We have been blessed of God because we're founded on the principles of the Word of God. Now, we've strayed. We've strayed. And that's why we have the problems we have. Amen? If my people, which are called by my name, glory to God. And we support Israel. That's the other reason we're blessed. Glory to God. So I believe that this nation is of all nations most blessed. Amen? How many believe and agree with me? Right? So it's not uncommon at Christmas time, and I want to bring that back to Thanksgiving time, even though now they've already started decorating for Christmas. How many have seen that?
Yeah.
Blows my mind. Pretty soon Halloween won't even exist. They'll be decorating for Christmas before Halloween. Right? They do it now? Man, oh man, God have mercy.
Let's just skip Halloween.
Say, it's not uncommon to compile a list at the end of the year. We compile a list of what we want to buy our loved ones, right? We compile a list on the changes we want to make in the new year, right? And I think it would not be out of the realm of logic and common sense to compile a list called a Thanksgiving list or a Thanksgiving list. Now, this is part of mine, and I got it from housewives. And so they're thankful for automatic dishwashers because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back for seconds. Number two, for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals. For children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They're such a joy. You hate to see them go home to their own parents. For teenagers, because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. I did not know that the most important word in the English language is like. For smoke alarms, because they let me know when the turkey's done. Things to be thankful for. You can come up with your own list. But I'm convinced we need to make a list. How many would agree? We need to make a list. Like you, I'm sure, my list would include, and your list would include, health. Amen? Life, family, friends, the church we go to, the members of the church we worship with. Despite all of our flaws, we have a lot to be thankful for. Now, even more than that, I'm thankful this morning for my salvation. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm thankful for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for each one of you. I'm thankful for the mercy that God showers on us each day. Mercy rewrote my life. I'm thankful for that mercy. Amen. It's hit me like a ton of bricks this entire week. God's mercy. With Jesus, I have so much to celebrate this Thanksgiving. But has it ever occurred to you that no American, no matter how underprivileged they might be, they are not as needy as that small band of pilgrims that exited the Mayflower and started this custom of a Thanksgiving dinner? They were in bad shape. They had no homes until they built them. They had no government agency to help them build a house. They had no ex-president to run around and do Habitat for Humanity. He can't anymore. They had no means of transportation. They didn't even have horses. Just their legs. Their only food was the sea and what they could find in the forest around them that they did not know anything about. They didn't have any money. Well, didn't need it because there's no place to spend it anyway. Wouldn't that be great if we didn't need money because there was no place to spend it? A lot of our stress would be gone, right, Jose?
Right.
Amen. They had no amusement except the amusement they made for themselves. They had no means of communication with their relatives in Europe. They couldn't pick up a phone and call them. There was a lot of good family fellowship when they ate because there were no cell phones to entertain them while they were at the table. They had no Social Security. They didn't even have Medicare. But if anyone had dared to call them underprivileged or call them needy, they would have probably ended up in the stockade. Because they had the greatest of all human blessings. Four of them. Initiative, courage, a willingness to work, and boundless faith in God.
Amen.
Our forefathers had a boundless faith in God. Don't you let modern history redefinition change what you think about our past. Those who founded this nation trusted in God, believed in God, and worshiped God. The sounds strange today when we talk about the powerful forces at work in our society and nation that want to strip us of anything that has anything to do with God. that these believe one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen? The Declaration of Independence. You know it. Let me remind you. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And Creator is with a capital C. Amen? With a firm, they ended it with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, capital P. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. Thanksgiving Day is distinctive. It's unique. It doesn't commemorate any battle. It doesn't commemorate anyone's birthday. It doesn't commemorate any anniversary. It is simply a day set aside to thank God for what He's given us. In 1787, George Washington made this public proclamation. Now, I'm only going to read a part of it, but I want you to see the strong and absolute acknowledgement of the fact of God and our nation's dependence on Him. Right here it is. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. Glory to God. I'll tell you, you who are in high school and college and grade school, and you parents teach your children, when they go to school, let them acknowledge this. I thank God there was a whole lot of trouble in our history class when I was in high school. Can anyone agree there might have been a little bit of trouble with me sitting in high school?
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of trouble. In my salutatory speech for graduation, the English teacher took out all reference of God, and I put it all back in and gave my speech just the way I'd written it.
Amen.
He wasn't a happy camper. Afterwards, he said, "You defied me." I said, "Yes, I did, because I needed to, because you're wrong." He didn't like that, but I'd already graduated. Couldn't do a thing about it. Don't you love that? See? Almighty God to obey His will. Not my will. This is George Washington talking. To obey His will, to be grateful for His benefit, and humbly implore His protection and favor. And here's something unique. Whereas both houses of Congress... Oh, really? Right? Both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and
prayer.
Now that part's dropped off. Right? Now there's going to be a church service here on Thanksgiving Day if you want to come. Because Myanmar... The refugee church, awakening church, that uses our building on Sunday afternoons is going to have a Thanksgiving service on Thanksgiving Day. So if you want to come, you come. Just bring earplugs. You're going to need them. Amen? Public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Hello? Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is our first president, considered by many in this country and all over the world to be one of the greatest political leaders to have ever lived. See? Who is the beneficent author. Say that with me. Author. What is God? He's the author. What does that mean? He wrote it. He made it. He built it. He makes it go. Amen? Of all good that was, that is, and that will be. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's His proclamation. Amen?
Amen.
That's the first Thanksgiving proclamation. Read that in your high school history class when they decide to tell you that the founding fathers didn't acknowledge God. Say, teacher, wait 1 minute. May I read something, please? And then read this proclamation. I'll print it and give it to you. This week, our nation will pause once again to give thanks. Amen? And one would assume that because of the examples of our forefather, and because we today have so much to be grateful for, we should be an extremely thankful people. Now, often it's just the opposite. Have you ever noticed the more people get, the less thankful they become? Right? The less mindful of God they become, and the more they want? Let me say that again. The more people get, the less thankful they become, the less mindful of God they become, and the more they want. Now, I know this because this happened in my home with Jonathan and Erica. Jonathan had his Game Boy. Erica had all she wanted. And they were just at each other's throats. I said to Leah, I don't know what we're going to do. And then it dawned on me. There's going to be a medical team and construction team coming to Managua, Nicaragua to have a medical clinic and build a church. My children are going to be interpreters in that clinic, whether they like it or not. So to Nicaragua we went. 4-hour drive, we got there. Got them up every single morning. We got them up at 5 in the morning. See, my children didn't have, they didn't have any, unfortunately, they didn't have any say in when they went to bed or when they got up. See, because I was a benevolent dictator. Amen. They did what I told them to do, whether they liked it or not. Because things fell off all around them if they didn't. We got up at 5 o'clock and I went the long way to the church. I went by the earthquake damaged buildings that were just standing, just shells of themselves. And the big puddles of in the potholes and the huge potholes. These were potholes that were rentable. Gigantic potholes, more like swimming pools. And the kids would be in those pools bathing at 5 in the morning. And I wanted my children to see that. We'd get to the church by 5:30, 5:45, and there'd be a line clear down 5, 6, 7, 8 blocks of people waiting in line so when the doors opened at 6, they could come in and get registered to be seen by the doctors by 7 o'clock. And they looked, I says, children, do you want to get in line? No! Then they went in. Erica worked with one of the doctors as an interpreter, and Jonathan worked in the pharmacy every single day for 10 days. Guess what? Going home, the car was deathly silent. Nobody fought with anybody. Nobody asked for anything. Because the more they had, the more they wanted. And I wanted them to see the way the other side of the world lived. I wanted them to understand they had a lot to be thankful for. I would recommend you do that with your children. Amen? You better pray I never become a millionaire, because I'm going to charter a plane and we're all going to a poor country and we're going to work amongst the poor for 10 days so that you come back glorifying God at how great He is and how much you have. Amen. Maybe it will be over in Ghana or over in Liberia. We'll go someplace, won't we, James? Amen. What's the basis for my thanksgiving? If I'm to be thankful, there should be a basis for it. What is it? Well, let's explore. Psalm 100. This psalm was written to the people of Israel. God in so many words had said over and over again, when you come into the promised land and settle down in your warm homes and you have plenty to eat, don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness. I brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Remember what I've done for you. Think on these things. Philippians 4:8. Now, it doesn't take very long to realize that the people of Israel needed reminders over and over again. Amen? But be very careful. Let's not criticize them too much. Amen? Amen. They didn't have what we... Well, they had some things that we don't have. I'm sure you women would have loved to have a pair of shoes that never wore out for 40 years. Didn't need a new dress. Honey, I'm going to go to the store and get a new dress. What for? That one's still real good. It's 39 years old and it's still real good. Amen? Amen. Maybe God had us in mind when this psalm was written. Do you notice who it's addressed to? It's addressed to all the earth, and then it ends with all generations. Does that include you? Amen. The message of thanksgiving is so deep, it's so wide, it's so all-encompassing that it applies to every person in every era of every history that has ever lived. It's sad, isn't it, that we are the only country in the world except for Canada that has a Thanksgiving Day? I think Liberia has one, right? The first Thursday of November. Amen. If you know the history of Liberia, it was a country formed by the U.S. government for all the slaves to return after the Emancipation Proclamation. And they could go back to Africa if they wanted to. Some of the blacks today need to read that. Amen. Because they have a place to go if they want. Now, we want them to stay here. But if they don't like it here... Yeah, right? Whoopi Goldberg. If you don't like it here, you can go over there. I'm not so sure Liberia would let her in, but anyway. I wonder how our world would change if suddenly all nations were to observe a Thanksgiving Day. I think there's something about giving thanks to God that breaks down barriers and brings unity. Amen? Also, secondly, I think also there's a real danger in this season of determining my thanksgiving on the basis of how much I have. How many of you have met somebody that determines their thankfulness and their happiness on what they have? Well, you know that when they don't have it, they become miserable. So you know what their happiness was dependent on. Do I have enough turkey to gorge myself sufficiently? Amen? Amen? Do I have enough money in the bank to be secure financially? Am I healthy enough? See? And they let these things determine whether they're thankful or not. The psalmist says that all these things can change at any moment in time. How many know that's true? Amen? I talked to Austin. I sat there and talked to him. And I said, how bad did you feel before they determined you needed an open heart surgery? He said, I felt good. In fact, the week before, I went to the doctor for my checkup and I was given a clean bill of health. And the week later, he's recovering from open heart surgery. His stent that they had put in 14 years ago had clogged up and closed. And the doctor wasn't smart enough. Aren't they practicing physicians? Practicing physicians? Amen? And you know if I get up here and preach a sermon I've never practiced, you know it wasn't practiced because I lay an egg. Right? So everything was fine. And from one day to the next, right, Bubba? From one day to the next, he's having open heart surgery and almost died. So you can't count on anything, right? Someone said, you can count on it. You can count on it being gone. Amen? In verse 1, we find the name of the Lord. A few Sundays ago, I mentioned to you, let's learn to say the name of Jesus. Amen? Say it with me this morning. Jesus. 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 When I'm laying in bed and I turn just right and my leg wakes me up from a dead sleep, I say, Jesus. Jesus. Verse 1, Jesus. Verse 2, we find the name of the Lord. Verse 3, we find the name of the Lord. Three times the name of the Lord. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Verse 5, the name of the Lord. Four times. The basis for my thanksgiving is God and the name of the Lord, his name. You want to get excited? Do a study on the names of God. Amen?
Amen.
Alex Haley, how many know who I'm talking about? Great series, The Roots, had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. Now, this is a decorated author. It was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. That's what it was. And when people came in, nobody ever failed to ask him, what in the world does that picture mean? That doesn't make any sense. It's not a picture of a relative. It's not a picture of some scenery. It's a picture of a dumb turtle sitting on a dumb fence post. Doesn't make any sense. And Haley would answer every time, and he'd say this, and I'm going to read it so I get it right. Every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think they are wonderful, and begin to feel proud of myself, I look at the turtle on top of the fence post and remember, he didn't get there on his own. He had help.
Yes.
Hello? You're not who you are. You're not where you are because you're some great, wonderful person. Amen? Now, every now and again, I, in tongue in cheek, like to tell you how handsome and smart I am. But I know that's not the way it is. I'm not here on my own. Amen? I've got the help of the Lord. That's the basis for Thanksgiving, to remember that I got here, you got here, we got here with the help of Almighty God.
Amen.
And he is the provider, like George Washington said, the provider of every blessing we have. And then secondly, we have five Thanksgiving commands, and I want to go through them real quick. Oh yes, 10 minutes, real quick. Amen. That's 2 minutes for each one. First command, shout. Verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Shout. In one translation, it says shout to the Lord. It means shout with the force of a trumpet blast. That's what it means. It's a shout of joy. It comes from the very innermost being. See, maybe he solved one of our problems. Maybe he's given us direction on where we need to go. Maybe he's provided us with money when we needed to pay a bill. Maybe he's provided us with some blessing that we didn't even imagine was ever going to come. We have a reason to shout. Roland Allen tells of a veteran missionary that went to a place that missionaries were never seen. It was a place where they had never hardly seen any white people, and he preached. And when the missionary introduced himself, he said this. And he came back to the churches that were supporting him, and he told this story. I was a medical missionary for many years in India. I served in a region where there was progressive blindness. People were born with healthy vision. But there was something in the area that caused them to lose their sight as they matured, 100% of the population. But this missionary had developed a process. He was a medical doctor, and he invented a process that arrested the progressive blindness. The people would come to him, he would perform this operation, and they would leave realizing that they would have become blind, but now never will. He said that they never said to him, thank you. Now I want that to sink in. They were going to become blind. Now they're never going to become blind. And they never turned and said thank you. And the reason they didn't is because the phrase did not exist in their dialect. What did exist was this: I will tell them your name. I want that to sink in a minute. Make that spiritual this morning. I will tell them your name. Wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who had cured their blindness. They wouldn't say thank you. They would tell his name. They had received something so wonderful that they proclaimed it, giving credit to the person that brought it about. Glory be to God. The psalmist said, suddenly we realize that God has been so good to us that we cannot keep it inside anymore. From the depths of our being, we shout our joy to him. We tell of his name. I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul how he gave salvation and he made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide what Jesus did in my heart. It makes me laugh and it makes me shout. Sets my crimson soul on fire when God shed his love in my heart.
Amen.
Jesus said something so illogical to the man that was set free from demonic power. 1,000 demons came out of him and went into a bunch of pigs, and they ran over a precipice into the Sea of Galilee and drowned. And Jesus looked at him and he said, I want you not to tell anybody. And he said, I couldn't keep it to myself. Amen. I had to tell them. Old Hank Williams song that I just repeated. Let me read it right. When God dips his pen of love in my heart and writes my soul a message he wants me to know, my spirit all divine fills this sinful soul of mine. When God dips his love in my heart. I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul how he brought salvation and he made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide such love as Jesus did impart. Makes me laugh and it makes me cry. Sets my sinful soul on fire when God dips his love in my heart. He walked every step up Calvary's rugged way. He gave his life completely to bring a better day. My life was lost in sin, but in love he took me in. His blood washed all my sins away. When you go home, Google it. You'll love it. Amen. The second command is a command of service. He says in the first part of verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say serve the church. It doesn't say serve Bill Peer. It doesn't say serve the leadership. It doesn't say serve the assemblies of Oh My God. It says serve the Lord. Amen? We need to keep our eyes. Everything we do for the Lord. I have to say thank you to Lori all the time. I say thank you to Debbie all the time. I say thank you to Paul all the time. I say thank you to Sarah and Ruth, those who sing and those who clean. Thank you, Possible. Emmanuel and Possible. Young Possible, thank you for... You ought to say thank you to them today for the clean bathrooms. How many enjoy clean bathrooms?
Amen.
How many would enjoy going into a bathroom where it stunk of urine? Amen?
Oh.
Where you had to clean the toilet seat before you sat down. How many ever been in a bathroom like that? Amen? Those aren't encouraging. Amen? Bathrooms in Costa Rica, you'd come to the door and there was a man sitting there and he sold you the toilet paper by the square. Oh yeah. You've seen that, right, Jose? Yeah, cost you money. I remember when you had to put a dime in a slot to get the bathroom door to open. How many remember that? I was an expert at crawling under the door. Never paid a dime. I waited for someone to come out, and then I went in. Amen. We thank God. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. See, Matthew 25. He will answer them saying, truly I say to you, you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did it to me. When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you homeless or in prison? He says, no, it wasn't me. As you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. You see, I know for a fact, Possible Emmanuel and Possible Junior will not be sweeping the streets in glory. They swept them here. Amen? Glory be to God. See? I'm not sure we grasp that, but let that sink in. Number three, sing. Sing. Come before his presence with singing. Now remember that when you pray. Ouch. Ouch. Grab onto the pew right there. Grab right on. Hold on tight. Don't want you to fall off. How many times do we go to the Lord in prayer and all we do is complain? Or talk about what we need instead of what he needs? He needs my praise. He needs my worship. He needs my love. Amen? He'll take care of the rest of it. Come into his presence with singing. Make a joyful noise. Command number four. Know God. Verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. He has made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. God made us inside and out. Be careful when you criticize how somebody looks. Did you see those ears? Those are like elephant ears. Be careful. Hello? Did you see that hair? Buy them a comb or a brush. No, be careful. You see? God made us inside and out. Amen? That's a mystery, isn't it? See? See, when God in his providence, this providence decided that he wanted a medium-sized man, not too good-looking, not too outstanding in anything, just a faithful father and husband who just would keep plodding along, he made me. Well, someplace along the line, he had you in mind. Amen? Amen. And he didn't care whether you had hair or not. Hello? And he's still making us. He's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. It took him just a day to make the moon and the stars. Saturn and Jupiter, Jupiter and Mars, whatever. See? He's still working on me. If someone criticizes you for what you did, what you're doing, or who you are, just look them straight in the eye and say, talk to God. He made me. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And then number five, be thankful. Why? God's my maker. He's created me in his image. I'm thankful. If you don't like the way I look, don't worry about it. I'm created in his image. Amen? If you criticize my image, you're criticizing his image. Amen? Glory be to God. Be thankful. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Why? The Lord is good. Right? His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. God is everywhere, and God knows he's with you when you're driving on the highway. He even let me know he's with me in a traffic circle. Yeah. He's with me when I go to work, when I don't like the task. I know none of you have ever had a job at work that you didn't want to do. I know you guys are all perfect. Yeah. But I did. He's with you as you care for your children. He's with you every moment of your life. My mom and dad would get upset when we sat down to eat. And they made the mistake of putting the dessert in front of my plate. I'd grab it and eat it first. You don't do that. And I would look at mom and dad and say, yes, I do. Respectfully, I do that. The rupture might take place and I want the good part to be already done with. They couldn't fight that one. Amen? Now, what if God began to... Just let me end with a few questions and hang on to your pew again. What if God began to treat me like I treat him? What if God would invite me to his house for all eternity the way I attend his house down here on earth? I'm sorry. Let me duck down here while I say the rest of these. What if God met our needs in the same extent that we give to him with our lives and our money? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? This is good, isn't it?
Yes.
We get into the state now. What if God took away his message because we didn't listen to his messenger? What if God wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank him yesterday? What if what I get from God today depended on what I gave God yesterday? What if God answered my prayers the way I answer his call to service? Someone said to me one day, you know, God never speaks to me. And before I could think about it, because I probably shouldn't have said it. Yes, Ginny, go ahead and laugh. Yeah. You know where I'm going. Yeah, before I thought, I said, well, maybe if you talk to him more, he would talk to you more.
Amen.
Could it be that there's some correct theology to that?
Amen.
How much time do you spend talking to him? Remember, you might need him to talk to you when you need wisdom and direction. I want a bank, Jose, enough yesterday that I can listen to him all day today. Will it mean anything? Well, I worked with a missionary, Sister Juanita Firth. She prayed 4 hours every single day. So did Hudson Taylor. And I've seen her look somebody demon-possessed in the eye and say, devil, you get out of them right now. And the demon leave. And they were set gloriously free. Maybe the 4 hours she had gave them the power. There were wheelchairs hanging on the wall of their church. There were crutches hanging on the wall of their church. There were eye patches hanging on the wall because the Holy Ghost would sweep through there and people would come in paralyzed and go running out when they got done. Could it be that the time spent with God equaled the time God spent with them? What if God decided to stop leading me because I decided I wasn't going to follow him? I'm going to end with Psalm 103, verse 10. Read it with me. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Would you stand with me? Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I could have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. See what it says? Go back, please, Emmanuel. He does not deal with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? He does not deal with me according to my sin, but nor repay me according to my iniquities. Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. For I could have fallen.